Amen. And Pastor Karen is going to introduce our first speaker that's going to talk about something that we are doing already, Operation Christmas Child. And then I'm going to come up and talk about all of the rest of the outreaches and missions that is available.
Because you all know that Pastor Janet, in assisting our church, you know, as the assisting pastor, she is helping us with the missions and stuff. So that's why I've asked her to do that. Okay, so anyways, yeah. So we, as you can see, I'm decked out with Operation Christmas Child t-shirt that I got yesterday and the tattoos and but I'm just, one thing that's awesome about Operation Christmas Child, we have done it years ago and we're going to do it again this year. And I love it because it is an outreach and giving. So we have an awesome representative from the Operation Christmas Child who's going to share in a minute, named Marcia. But first I want us to see another promotion video before Marcia comes up. Oh, it just brings me to tears every time I see that because I just love it. So this is for you. I need you to yes, use this. Can you do it?
I can do it.
I can do it.
Awesome.
Karen is the best encourager I've run into in a long time.
Well, thank you for having me here today. What a view. Wow.
I almost need to stand like this because I might be distracted, but you're beautiful too. And it has been my privilege now to be a year-round volunteer with Operation Christmas Child. This is my very first year as a year-round volunteer. And people say, well, what do you mean? You work year-round? Yes, we do. We work year-round getting ready for the push that's now coming. I live here on the northwest side of Tucson, and my district area that I cover is I visit all the churches. There's about 45 of them in this northwest side that are actively involved, and we are very, very thankful. The other thing that I need to tell you is a fabulous story. First of all, this year you saw those boxes. This year we will celebrate our 100 millionth box since 1993. I can't even get my arms around that number. I can't fathom 100 millionth of anything. But imagine 100 million children, one child, one box, one salvation, one gospel opportunity, changing the world, you know, one box at a time, and it's great. But the other thing I need to share with you is that I was at a conference in April in California. There was about 400 of us there. And the Nepali nation team of Operation Christmas Child came to speak. Five men, obviously very, very accomplished in their own rights in the sense of doctors, lawyers, and Indian chiefs, literally. But they were so sold out to the gospel that they came to share with us stories of the gospel opportunities in Nepali. So lo and behold, they told the story. They went to a dump. You saw the children living in the dump. They went to the dump to deliver shoeboxes. They had chosen this location because the children were so destitute. And the Nepali pastor told us that he saw a little girl sitting a little ways off. She was obviously away from the crowd. She was not totally clean. She had been living in a dump. And she looked very despondent. So he decided that was who God had given him to touch that day. So he went over to her and he sat down next to her and he said, hello. And she just looked at him with these very, very frightened eyes. And he said to her, did you know that God loves you? She just looked at him, no response. And then he took the shoebox out and he handed it to her. She looked at him and he said, open the shoebox. It's for you. It's from God to you. And she looked at him with these eyes. He said, I'll never forget the look. He said, it was a look that, how could anything good happen to me? Nothing good happens to me. Who is this God? What are you talking about? And he said, please open the box. And he went to nudge the lid open and she opened it up. And inside it, on the very top, was this. Now, this little girl was shoeless, okay? She had never had a pair of shoes in her whole life. He found out later she was 9 years old. She opened that box. She looked at the shoes. She grabbed the shoes, and she began to run around the dump to the other children screaming, I've got shoes! I've got shoes! And the children looked at her, and you could tell that she had obviously been the victim of some verbal abuse. And they looked at her, and they said, "You don't even know they're going to fit. How do you know they're even going to fit?" And she said, "God chose these shoes for me. They will fit." And I tell you, every time I tell that story, I think about the fact that that little girl went from faithless to faith-filled because of a $1 donation. And that didn't even count that she left the box. She was just running with the shoes. She didn't care what the rest of the box was. She later came back and he assisted her with the rest of the box. And I thought to myself, you know, that is what it is all about. I got shoes and God chose them for me. They will fit. And he said they did fit, which is so often the case. We take these boxes, we pray over them, and I encourage your church to have a commissioning service when you send these boxes off to us at the collection center. Pray over each box. When you fill your box, pray over every item. Dear Lord, this child needs this. I know they need this. Please, Lord. And we have seen it happen again and again and again, that children get exactly what they need because our God is so good. So that's the exciting part. That's the practical part about giving a shoebox. The other part of it is that we don't just go in as Operation Christmas Child and just give them the box and leave. We have a discipleship program. It's 12 weeks long. No area receives shoeboxes unless the local pastor has asked us to come. Many of the areas are very remote. We heard a story yesterday about an area in Uganda where they went in and the pastor came running to them saying, "Nobody comes here. Nobody comes here. Thank you for coming. We're so far out in the bush. Nobody comes here." So we go there. They get their boxes. Each child gets a gospel opportunity booklet. You saw the little boy looking at him, and I have samples of them here. They get one of those with each shoebox. They're not inside the shoebox because we don't know where the boxes are going when they're originally packed. We just know they're prayed for and they're going to go exactly where they need to go. Some of the boxes went to Katrina victims because remember how devastated they were. They had nothing. Some of them went to other areas in America and the tsunami that hit over in the Southeast Asia area, they went there. And so they don't necessarily go just at Christmas time. They go year-round, but to them it's Christmas. They don't know. They've never had a gift. It's their first gift. So here is the 12-week discipleship program. The very important part about the discipleship program is that it allows them to be discipled by a pastor for 12 weeks. They come for 12 weeks. They make that commitment, and they're not just left there. They're not just left, "Oh, good, ask Jesus in your heart, we're gone." No, no, they're discipled in what it means to be a believer, to change lives. On the very last page of the book, they are asked to share by writing down 9 names of people they want to share the gospel or their gift with, as we call it. They write down their parents, the tribal leader, which happened in one of the African countries. Little boy went right to the tribal chief. Now, those of us that know a little bit about tribal culture know that if the chief makes a decision, it affects everybody, including coming to Christ. So that particular tribal leader read through the book. He made the decision. The tribe comes to Christ and a church is planted. Very exciting what a shoebox can do. Unlimited opportunities with a shoebox. So I wanted to share those things with you to encourage you as one of our newer churches getting involved or re-involved, I guess is a better way to say it. We have some boxes over here. Your missions gal is going to share with you here. And I really, really, really thank you for the chance to come and talk with you. Not only am I having blessed fellowship here and worship, but I'm enjoying just sharing what the Lord has done through Operation Christmas Child. So thank you so much. Please feel free to come and look at everything I have. And there is a bunch of us going up to the processing center in Denver. And if anybody wants to go, I've been working on Deb. If anybody wants to go, we would be loved to have you come with us. We're going the 3rd of December through the 8th of December. I was there last year when we did our last box. 696,000 boxes were processed in 2 weeks from that particular Operation Christmas Child Processing Center. There are 8 of them in America. There will be 10 next year. So that's how we get to 100 million boxes just since 1993. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, I would say if you want
more detailed information to actually see Debbie. But you've seen this around the house over there. And on the Christmas tree are tags, which would say buy a package of pencils, buy a package of socks, because we were wanting each box to have staples, I guess you might say. Then there's a more completed list of like fun items, suggested items, and then items not to put in there, like chocolate or certain things that are not to be put in there. But the display will be over here, and so we just encourage you to look at it. And if you have more questions, there will be a party. I don't have the date in front of me. Do you want to help me with that? November 3rd, we are going to have a packing party. We do have our church calendars up here, so it will be on in printed form, too, if you don't want to write it down right now. And at that time when we pack, we are going to pray over them. And like I said, if you need more detailed information, please see Debbie. Well, this has also been sitting around there. It's been sitting over here, and there's some other pamphlets and just information, because we can't, one person can't do everything, but I'll tell you, one person can do one thing. And if someone has a burden, for instance, for one of the local ministries, then get information on that. There's one that I'm going to talk about that's up in Oracle called Family First, and it is phenomenal, and it's just right up here. And they're doing a lot. I'm going to talk about them. So I kind of like have my local missions. These are going to be changing. For instance, I don't the shoe drive and the sock drive, those had ending dates. And but you know, so this will be something that'll be changing. We're hoping to get a mission, Indian mission school. Am I saying that right? That's going to be up here too, so we can bless them. And that's, what district would you say? It's just in past the airport. Near Ajo, okay. Here we have, if you can kind of see, I know you guys probably can't see it over there, but the missionaries in Taiwan. And they have a special project that you can contribute to. Otherwise, when you give to Foursquare Missions, it is given to all Foursquare Missions. But they have a special project that they need to renovate their educational building. Right now, it's a very tall, I don't know how many stories it is, hotel. And they have like one of the rooms or floors in it. I wasn't quite sure on that one. But then in addition to that, they have a hospital ministry, which is highlighted here, and they have a like a tutoring day where kids come to this educational center and they help them after school. And they do other things in the educational center as well. So that is a specific project, and if you wanted to give to that, there's information on here. You just have to designate project number 85 or whatever, however they designate it. Over here is, was so excited to get these pictures and really had a lot to choose from, was if you remember the missions trip to India, and a church was brought out of that. And so that's why I put a church plant. And this is a letter from the pastor, which is Pastor Johnny's cousin. There was a first church here, and you'll see that there's now a second church. How exciting is that? How exciting is that? So again, there's information here. I am just highlighting these. I want you to come see what the Lord puts on your heart. A lot of people may, I didn't know everything that Foursquare Missions does in itself. So I kind of just put a little synopsis here of what they do. Not only helping with the missionaries all over, but the chaplain mission ministry is under them. The disaster relief training is under them. And, of course, the Foursquare Missions Press is under them. They talk about different ways that you can pray, give, and go. We have a prayer guide that they give monthly, I believe, and it goes by date, and you can pray for a different region each day. They have one thing of Missions Press. They give a little, they highlight two different things that are going on, and these are always available over here. There's two ongoing projects that Foursquare Missions Press does. Now, they not only print, but they ship free tracts. And I don't know how many languages they do it now, but they do keep adding. So this is free material that they send out to the mission field. Oh, here we go. 110 countries, 52 languages. They have sent over 160 billion free tracts since 1981. Two ongoing projects. If you have an extra Bible, this could become a prized possession for a new believer or a future pastor. Bibles, concordances, devotionals, children's Bibles, Bible storybooks, anything that has to do with Bibles. No, they do not have to be new ones. English is okay. Then there is also, if you've heard of it, I think we did it, I want to say 4 years ago, but our children's ministry was always collecting money during the whole year for the children's gospel box. The children's gospel box is a box. They have orders for the children's gospel box from different countries all over. They have orders for them. It's also a type of discipleship. There are puppets in it. There's material in it. There's praise wands, as they call it. There's bracelets that tell the gospel. And they collect offerings for it. But when we went there, Pastor Karen and I had the pleasure and privilege of going and seeing it when we were at a convention. And one of the churches was blessed with this big warehouse. I remember the pastor saying, "Why do we need this that's like 12,000 square feet, Lord?" Come to find out, because that was where the press was supposed to be, also in Anaheim. So anyway, you could see them, you could see the press, and the volunteers are retired missionaries. So we saw these elderly women and men, and they were making the praise wands. They were getting the material in that language and putting them together. And if you want to volunteer, if someone wanted it to be like a missions trip, we're going to go volunteer. That's available. We as a church, we can make the gospel bracelets. We can make as many as we can make. We supply the material, we put them together, and we send them there. We can also make the praise wands, because how they make it is a ribbon and a straw. That's just what they do. So you just see the missionaries just making them. They're still working there every day. I did not put the price on here. I don't know if it's gone up, but it was like it cost $127 to ship out a box. And so that was what the offering was. And the kids did it. It took them a whole year to bring in that much money, but they did it when we had it about 4 years ago. So that was very, very exciting for them too. And I believe, that's an ongoing thing that anyone can do. But it's just really neat. It's just really neat to see. Now, speaking about the local projects, I wanted to highlight. Let me show you this. There's other things in here, and it says a big project is coming, so you can go ahead and read about those. I wanted to highlight the family first. This is something that's coming up. It's their yearly fundraiser that helps support what they do. And if you see these around town, grab one. We have one right now, and we're hoping to get more. But if you want this one, I'll be happy to give it to you because we can get more. But it is on October 20th, and they're calling it the Chuck Wagon Roundup. It's a Saturday at 6 p.m., and it's right here on Wycliffe. I was going to call it something else, Wycliffe, the Translation Center. But what it is, it's not only food that is provided by Bub's Grubs, and if you've ever eaten at Bub's Grubs, it's yummy. Okay, so, and it's only for $10. And you do get coffee and dessert, too, it says. But it's going to be an evening with a silent auction of surprise gift baskets. Then a barbecue meal with all the fixins. There's going to be a live auction of art and quilts and jewelry, weekend giveaways, and then they're going to end with coffee and dessert. Yes, and what I wanted to do because I wanted to tell you a little bit about what they do. Do you want to add anything to the barbecue, though?
They have, this is not just like quilts and things that women would like. They have a football autographed, I think, by the U of A team, and a basketball autographed, and some pictures of sports figures autographed that they're auctioning off.
Mm-hmm.
Things like oil changes for your car. So be sure if you are interested, bring your husband, bring your grandsons, your sons, whatever, because there are things that they're auctioning off that I think just about anybody
would. Mm-hmm, definitely.
They have solicited and received these things free so that this money that you would pay for it, you know, if you won this, would all go to the...
Definitely. They have different services that I've highlighted here. It does say family first, and that's exactly what it is. They have classes for men and women, for couples. Could be boyfriend and girlfriend, but they have classes. They have a thing for mothers that they attend classes to learn how to be a mother. They earn, like, tokens, and then they can go buy from the store. But how they earn them is attending and then doing all that. They also have things for youth. They have targeted, you know, where the youth can come, and they have different things for them to do as well. And it says just helping mothers, youth, and family. The Family Diaper Bank is a non-profit organization helping to provide diapers, a basic need, to those who cannot help themselves, babies, the disabled, and the elderly. And the Diaper Bank is affiliated with Family First. And I think Pastor Karen had pointed out that they also take used ink cartridges because that also helps them. There's a website. There was so much information I could not put it down, and I could probably speak about this the whole time.
All their funding.
Yes, it's donation only. There is October 1st through the 31st, so the whole month of October, they're having a baby bottle fundraiser. And what it is you go there, and we're probably going to do that as far as I know, you get one of their baby bottles that they've set up, and they have a sign on it and whatnot, and you just fill the baby bottle with spare change. And they do that for the whole month, and then they collect that. Wonderful. Another local one that Chris takes, whatever is put in the the tote that's underneath the table, she takes each week, and then that's why it arrives back here empty. She takes it to them. So the Catalina Food Bank, or I'm going to just say the Catalina Community Services, because they do more than that. They supply holiday food boxes. They keep in stock non-perishable food, fresh fruit, produce, protein, dairy, and breads. They provide nutritional pamphlets, baby formula, and food. Gently used clothes. They had said that nearly 4,000 items are checked out each month from the clothes bank, because when you go in there, they do keep a record of that. They do ask, though, that when you donate, that the undergarments would be new and not used. Blankets, bedding, towels, and household items. They also provide back-to-school clothes, prom attire, diapers, and other baby items. And they provide transportation to the kids' closet for 6 free outfits. So they will help in that with the transportation. Again, I said it's more than just a food and clothing bank, because they have a reading circle and literacy programs, after-school programs, grants for teachers in school so they can get supplies, summer family programs that include science, games, crafts, even excursions to Tucson attractions, as well as community education resources and classes. They have a senior center where the Golden Goose was. One of the storefronts is a senior center. And what they do there is they provide hot midday meals cooked fresh by the staff and volunteers. Big need is volunteers. They do that 3 days a week. But the other days of the week, they have people deliver them their meals. And they have a section that is just for diabetic or other dietary needs. So if someone was needing a special lunch made, that they could do that also. They have holiday parties there. They have craft groups there. They have discussion groups. They have games. It's just a really neat little center providing all of this, and it's just almost hidden. You wouldn't know it's there if you drove by it. They also provide transportation to doctor's appointments, grief counseling, and other support services. They partner with the AmFi Parents as Teachers Association, where one that is certified for that goes into the home of the parents and guides them actually with the parent and the child on how to maybe take care of a problem that they're having, or they don't know what to do. And so they will come in and guide them. And they also have a group where someone can come and bring their child, but they come too, and they have a play time. They do crafts. They help the parent teach the child, for instance, their ABCs, or, you know, even how to use scissors. Some people don't know how to guide a child to use scissors, and then the child ends up, like, you know, not being able to do it. And what happens is they just don't do it. You cut for me. I can't cut. So just simple things like that you would not even think of. And then also with the Arizona Youth Partnership. So they are, those are the partners that they have available for them. Very, very, very good opportunity to volunteer. I talked with the gentleman there, and I just asked him, is there any specific needs? And he just said, when the snowbirds are here, they have a lot of help. But when they are not here, they don't. So, and it's not to say that they don't need help year-round, but it's just those certain months of the year that they do need a lot of help. people are always calling, can you take me here? Can you take me there? Well, that's people like us saying, yeah, you know, I'm available to take someone somewhere on Wednesdays. And there is reimbursement for that, for doing that. Okay, that's that. Let me see. Okay, I'm doing good. Over yonder there, you're going to see it says, will you pray? And that has to do with the Voice of Martyrs magazines. And that's exactly what, if you're familiar with this organization, they cover it. They just cover it all. These magazines that are over here, these are free for you to take. If you look through them and you'll see maybe that they're focusing on a certain people's group or a certain area, take it. And this will be your reminder to pray over them. Okay, so those are over there available for you. If you know of something that's going on, a project, a local project, doesn't have to be local, but if you know of something, will you please let me know so we can highlight it and do that and keep me up to date on things like that, and so we can definitely highlight them. Like I said, we're going to highlight on the fifth Sunday of the month. Paul Kelly had found this. It's a certificate of appreciation for his mom, who was Rose Marie Kelly. And he just thought they've always been missionary-minded. But this just shows you how it can be passed down through our actions. That this says, in recognition of 16 years of consistent giving to the former Gold Star Missionary Program. And just underneath it, it has a little quote. It says, only eternity will reveal the many souls that have been won to Jesus Christ through your faithfulness. And I want to say that to you. Can I say that to you? Only eternity will reveal the many souls that have been won to Jesus Christ through your faithfulness. But wow, that's a really neat family legacy, I should say. So we're going to have more of these. There are a few up there, but prayer guides available. Like I said, we're going to have those monthly. When these come out, we're going to have those as certain updates from India or Taiwan come available. So I would just say, check this out. Things are going to be changing on it. It sits right over there. Lots of information. Even if it's to say, you know what? I'm going to pray. I can't go there. It's in Anaheim. I can't go there and do that, but I'm going to pray. Next time you go through your sewing stuff, if you notice you have extra ribbons, bring them in. Maybe we can start collecting ribbons and straws. I'll print out the directions on if certain things or how many ribbons are supposed to be on the straw or whatever, and maybe we'll have a chance to put some together. I'm going to look through the many beads that I have stored away and see if I can get those things together and see what kind of string they use, if it's leather or whatever. And maybe we can just have a craft time. I know the women's ministry is going to be doing craft days, but hey, I could even like give you a little package and say, hey, can you take these home and make these up? So that's something doable. But you know what we can all do is, as the Lord lays something on your heart, pray. Pray. Pray for volunteers. Pray for safety. Pray for hearts. Pray for materials that are needed. Pray. I want to go ahead and ask Chris, I know one thing that's very dear to your heart is the family first. Would you mind coming up? I know I haven't asked you beforehand. Would you mind coming up and just having a short prayer? Okay, and even naming the different people that you know that are there that we could pray for their leadership, and for the needs.
Before I do that, any women who want to have a party, Family First has a Christmas party for the young people that they minister to, and they bring their children, which is, you know, as a grandmother, that's so much fun. And it, this year it will be on Wednesday, I think that's December 5th, and it's out in Oracle at the Living Word Church, and it's more fun. It's something that that the Saddlebrook Aglow has done every year, but you don't have to be in Aglow to do it. It's fun. So I just want to extend that invitation. All you have to do is bring a dish to share, and we have a wonderful time, especially with the children. Last time we were there, I think there were like 15 children, and I sat at the table, because we try not to sit together, to sit at different tables. I sat at a table with a Native American father and his little girl, and he told me that the mother was in jail. So he was parenting this little girl and getting help from Family First. And I was just so impressed. You know, the children are just wonderful. And these young people are so grateful that we care enough for them and their children. There is one volunteer, and I don't know her name, but she made stockings, big stockings, and filled them with toys. I think her husband was a woodworker, and he made little trains, and I mean, they were just filled. There were boy ones and girl ones, and every child got one of those. It was wonderful. So, and Claire is a part of the Saddlebrook Aglow, and her husband helped, you know, he's in there with her. I think he's the executive director. And they are just a wonderful, wonderful couple. So, Lord, I just lift up Family First, mm-hmm. Pregnancy Care Center, Lord. I lift up Claire and Frank Grow Hockey, Lord, and their volunteers that you know their names, I don't, but we lift them up to you, and we thank you for them. And we ask that you would continue to touch them, continue to lead them in the way you want them to reach out, Lord. I just thank you that they have cared enough to have Family First in Oracle, but also in Winkleman, Lord. And I thank you that they don't take government money so that they can lead people to you, Lord. They can teach the gospel as they help practically to train these young people. I just thank you, Lord. I know that this must be on your heart because it helps those in need. Yeah. I thank you that it's not just the pregnant girl that they disciple and teach. It's the young boy also. It's the married couples. Lord, I just thank you for that. And I ask that you would pour out your blessings on both of these family care centers, Lord. That you would bring in the funds that they need to function, and the gifts and the volunteers, Lord.
Thank you.
Not just now, but all year long. And I ask your special blessing on this Chuck Wagon barbecue, that they would just have so many people signed up and paid up that they would have means, Lord, financial means for the whole year. I just thank you, Lord, that this ministry is on your heart and it's on our heart. We ask that you help them in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
So I hope you all were very, very blessed. And you know that that's our heart, is to have God's heart to reaching others. And that has been our purpose. Paul and I were at a leadership conference in Colorado Springs this past week called Expect with David Wilkerson's son at the church. His name is Pastor Gary Wilkerson. And then Pastor Carter Conlin was there, who is now taking the Times Square Church, David Wilkerson Church, and Pastor Jim Cimbala was there from Brooklyn Tabernacle. They have such a heart outreach. And then there was a pastor, I don't remember his first name, Hood in Canada. The miracles of their hearts matching up with God's, of wanting to reach the community, and how God provided miraculously ways to have these buildings and resources to be able to reach out with God's love and beyond. Mm-hmm. They have awesome, not only local missionary touching the lives of others in their community, but beyond, as this is our heart. But one thing I want to do, it broke my heart when he said, Pastor Hood said that he was speaking at a pastor's meeting conference thing. It was very cold in a winter day, and he was trying to get into the church, and the door was locked, and so he's knocking and knocking. And he said that a woman comes up as this gentleman is starting to open up the door, a woman with two children. They weren't dressed in much. She had frostbite already on her eyebrows and stuff, you could see. And she says, please help me, because our husband has thrown us out of the house. He beats us and stuff, and he's thrown us out of the house, and I need help. And it's not his church. And the gentleman says, you know, look at me, look at me. And he goes, you know, look at me. And he keeps telling the lady, and she's going on about, what do I do, you know? I have nowhere to go. We don't know. And he goes, we can't help you. We are a church. May that never happen to us. I couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe his ears. May we never, ever be like that. May we always have a heart to extend. And if we can't reach and help them, we will find somebody who can. That just broke my heart when I heard that. And I looked at my husband and said, we will never be that way. Pathway of Hope will have his heart, not only to teach his truth, but to extend in practical ways where never needed. So I thank you for hearing this service today. And I hope that we can all contribute to Operation Christmas Child in some way, shape, or form, even if it is prayer. So, thank you.
Okay, let's all stand for our ending song, and then as the prayer ministers make their way to where they are, please feel free as we're singing to go to them for prayer. I encourage you to come up for prayer, and if not, have a wonderful day, and we'll see you next week. Take time to look through the missionary stuff and all the different things on the table. Thank you.